guys, it's Hannah here, Hannah Brown, live and in stereo. Is that too dark? I've been watching a lot of 13 Reasons Why, like binging it, and it is not good. But Hannah Baker is in my head. I've also been told that I look like her before, which I will absolutely take because Katherine Langford is stunning. Anyway, welcome to another exciting episode of Brown Eyed Junicorn. It's me, Hannah Brown, live and in stereo. And it's just me this week because, you guys, I'll get there. I'm not lazy. I'm not a lazy host. But I had such a ridiculous, like, week of my life and a ridiculous move, like, a little over a week ago that I thought I owed it to you guys to tell you that story, and I would never, like, waste a guest's time by being like, anyways, let's talk about me the whole time. So it's just me. So I'm going to tell you guys about my move and then about what it's been like being in California for the last like week and a half or so. So moving day was a lot. I need to get to my notes. All right. So my dad was going to take me to the airport around like 10 a.m., but he wanted to get breakfast before. So he picks me up at like 9:30 in the morning. We go to a diner, get some food, and I'm in like a very like surreal headspace where I'm like, holy fuck, like, is this what we're doing? Like, this is what we're doing. And my dad is kind of like in a good mood, but I feel like we didn't actually register that like I was leaving until we got to the airport. But we have our breakfast, we go back to my sister's. So I left my apartment like a little under a week before I left town. So I was crashing at my sister's in Logan Square with my cat, Lillian, celebrity, Instagram celebrity. And I really want Flat Tummy Tea to sponsor Lillian. That would be incredible. Anyways, so I had to go back to pick up Lillian. Now, Lillian does not like the car. She's never been in an airplane, but she fucking hates the car. When she's been in the car in the past, she's been known to meow as if I'm skinning her alive, and she's also been known to shit in her carrier, which I took as passive aggression, and the vet was like, no, that means she's stressed. And I was like, calm down. But I was on top of it. I paid like around, it's tacky to talk about money, $45 to get her a sedative so that she would just pass the fuck out on the plane and be okay. So the sedative was a liquid that you put in a syringe and like shoot into her little kitty mouth. But the thing is, they told me to give it to her like 2 hours before I left for the airport. So I tried to give it to her before my dad and I went to breakfast. And it was me, my brother-in-law, and my dad, and she scratched the shit out of all three of us, and I got like maybe half a dose. Then on like right before we got in the car to go to the airport after breakfast, I tried to give her the rest of the dose, and I managed to get most of it in her mouth. So at this point, my dad, Lillian, and I are in the car, and she is meowing like a motherfucker, like miserable, like Les Mis, I dreamed a dream, castle on the cloud, miserable. And my dad and I are driving along, and he won't even let me listen to my music, which is so annoying. I had like a playlist in my head planned for that day, including songs such as Let the River Run by Carly Simon, Last Chance by Nicki Minaj, Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. I mean, this was my Lauren Conrad moment. My dad's like, well, my phone's gonna die, so I have to plug it in. So we're listening to his fucking sad, depressing, like, Damien Rice. And I'm like, this is not my vibe. This is not my musical journey right now. But I acquiesced, because I'm a good daughter. And my cat is like, meow, 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 and first, she just poops a couple little dingleberries. And I'm like, fear not. I have Kleenex in my purse. I take the little poops out. I throw it out the window, which I'm sorry to pollute, but what did you want me to do? And I had her sitting on like a folded up towel and then her baby blanket that they sent her home from the shelter with me in. And I'm like, little dingleberry NBD. Next thing I know, she's like shitting, like full blown diarrhea and puking. It was coming out both sides. Have you ever had the flu where it's come out both sides? It's like literally the worst. So she was, you know, my thoughts and prayers were with her. But I also was like, oh, fuck, what are we gonna do? So my dad's like, oh God. And my dad's like trying not to puke, like almost yakking out the window. We pull over at some like auto store, like where they sell like auto supplies. And I try to like put her in the car, like get her out of the carrier, put her in the car so I can like throw away her baby blanket, RIP, and the towel and like wipe off her carrier, which is fabric. So it just like smelled like poo. And I'm going in and my dad's like, we have an emergency with our pet. Can we use your bathroom? So I'm using like a shit ton of hand soap and paper towels to try and wipe down this carrier. And there's like poo all over it. And then I found poo on my purse. And it reminded me of the episode of The Comeback where Valerie Cherish gets poop on her hair from the puppy. And she's like, there's poo-poo on my pashmina. That was like total Valerie Cherish vibes. Like trying to do the right thing, but like fucking up. And I get most of the poop, like I get all the poop off, but it just still kind of reeks of poo. So I get her back in the carrier and I'm like, bitch, there's no way you have any more poop or puke left inside you. So my dad is like actually being a huge team player. My dad, Jeff Brown, is known to get a little stressed and a little intense when he's stressed. Like I'll be like, oh God, and like just panic and freak the fuck out. But he was like in like problem solving mode. He's like, honey, I have all these rags in the back and all these extra towels. You just take these, and if anything else happens, you have them with you. Da, da, da. My dad was like total rock star mode. So we get to the airport, I get my bags out, and my dad loses his shit. He's like, that was him being like, I'll see you soon, my love. His face like explodes. Like it's like the scene in Signs where Mel Gibson is like describing when the Culkin child was born, and he's like, your mother literally gasped, and then he like starts crying over the mom. That's how my dad cries. So my dad loses his shit and just like hugs me and he's out. Like I think he wanted to like abbreviate the goodbye to make it less painful. So then I start to cry and I'm just alone with my cat and her poop scented carrier and my huge bags. And having a carrier and two bags being one small person is like no easy feat. And I go to check my bags and the guy goes, this bag is overweight. And I'm like, okay, by 4 pounds, you guys. I shit you not, no pun intended because of my cat. 4 fucking pounds. I was like, all right, I'll just pay for it. How much is it? Thinking it'll be like $30. $75. Okay. And he's like, would you like to take some weight out? And I'm like, sir, I don't know. Like, what do you want me to throw my clothes away? Like, I don't know what to do. So I just pay the fee and I pay the cat fee, and which was another like $90. I mean, I know talking about money is tacky, but moving is so expensive and so stressful. So I check my overweight bag and then I tell him like, hey, do we smell like poop, my cat and I? And he's like, a little bit. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like I tried to give her a sedative before we got here, but she vomited up in the car. And he gives me like this like huge heap of Clorox wipes. And he's like, stop in a bathroom, wipe things off. You know, that's not healthy for the other customers. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for that astute observation. Because I want to be the customer with the whiny cat that smells like shit. Like, I'm enjoying this, sir. I was like, okay. And like, I just said goodbye to my dad. I was just feeling so many feelings, but I took his Clorox wipes. I was gracious. I said, thank you. I really did appreciate it. And then we get to security. So because I have a cat, they put me in this alternative line. And I'm behind like 8 wheelchair-bound elderly people while my cat is in her carrier like, wah, wah, wah. And I am very sympathetic to like how shitty it is to be in a wheelchair in an airport. When my mom was super sick and we went to Disney World, she had to be wheelchair-bound in an airport. It is the fucking worst. It's just like, it's a lot. So obviously I don't blame any of these people, but I'm behind them and I'm talking to this woman who works for TSA, and she was like, oh, you got a cat in there? I was like, yeah, it's her first time flying. She puked up her sedative in the car. She's having a morning. She's like, oh, so are you just going to like carry her through? Or, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? She's like, yeah, you can't go. Like, you got to get past us and put that carrier through security and you have to carry her through. Some people have leashes and stuff. I'm like, cool. Well, I called like 2 months ago and no one told me I had to take her out of her carrier. Like, I've never traveled with a pet, you guys. I didn't know what to do. So I take her out, send her poop-scented carrier through the conveyor belt, and my cat is out of her carrier at this point, and she is clawing at my arms, like scratching the shit out of me. Her little cat foot, like little rabbit foot, gets stuck in my tank top and like pulls my tank top down and reveals my black lacy bra to everyone in the line. And of course, things are moving really, really slowly because all these people were in their wheelchairs. And it's like, I can't get annoyed with them, and I can't get annoyed with anyone but my fucking cat. But also, like, she's having a stressful day. So, yeah, I flashed everybody my titties, thanks to Lillian. And I literally, like, my body, I had, like, battle wounds all over me. But we get through security, me and Lillian, she's back in her poop-scented / Clorox-scented carrier. I used all those Clorox wipes, wiped it down, which I'm sure made her even more miserable. And then we had time to kill. And let's see what happened next. So I'm going through my notes. Yep, exposed my tits to everyone, told you that. Okay, so we finally got on the plane. And in my row of seats, I'm between these two men with my carrier, poop scented. And they're probably like, oh, a girl with a cat, that's cute. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they weren't, but she literally from the second we're on the plane is like, I've never heard her meow so loud in my entire fucking life. And in the row across from me is this super hot girl in like athleisure, like leggings and a crop tank top and like a cute little baseball cap and like white sneakers with her hot boyfriend and their fucking cute white dog that is like not in a carrier, just like on a blanket, chilling on the floor, literally smiling, like living its best life. And she's like bending over and like petting him and like all is well. And I'm like, cool. So I'm like the ragtag poop scented girl with scratches all over me, stretched out tank top, cat shit all over my carrier, potentially still on my purse, potentially in my hair at this point, and my cat's like losing her shit. And in that moment, you guys, I understood how parents feel when their kids lose their fucking mind in public. Because, I mean, I don't like kids and I don't like bad parenting, but there's only so much you can do. So I'm like reaching in her carrier, trying to pet her, nothing works. And she literally meowed repeatedly for an hour until I think she just exhausted herself and passed out. She was like squishing her little face against the mesh of her carrier. And like she was like Leo DiCaprio in Shutter Island being like, get me out, I must escape. And I was just like holding her hostage on like this plane. And then we get there. We hit the ground. Everything's Gucci once we get there. At this point, she is like so fucking exhausted from the travel. She's just like completely comatose. And I'm waiting for my Uber outside with my overweight bags. And the super hot girl from the plane and her hot boyfriend, she walks up to me and she's like, oh, how'd she do? I was like, honestly, she was a fucking nightmare. And I hope one day she'll be well behaved like your dog. And she's like, no, I think she did great. I was like, thank you so much. Like, you guys and your dog is like goals. And she was like, oh my God, no. Like, it took us so long to get our dog to this point. Da, da, da. And I was like, how cool that, like, the hippest couple on the plane that I was convinced was judging me actually was, like, so fucking nice. Welcome to LA. So then I go to my friend Kelly's house, who's watching Lillian while I crash elsewhere. And Kelly gives me rosé, and Lillian is just, like, chilling, and, like, all was well. So that was my day of moving. In my first week in California, week and a half, I have had such insane luck. And I've been talking a lot, I think in the last few episodes, about the book, You Are a Badass, and just like what it means, like the law of attraction, putting positivity into the universe and getting it back. And I was really anxious for like getting here, and like I wanted to hit the ground running and be super motivated to like get a job and get an apartment. I wanted everything to fall into place, but like any move, especially a big move, everything is in flux. You have no idea how anything is going to go. So I was just trying to be super optimistic and positive and control what I could control and just like keep going no matter how hard things got. But in my first week, I got the first apartment I applied for, which is like my dream apartment in my dream neighborhood. I got two jobs at like two places that I really, really wanted to work at. I found $20 in an ATM. I went salsa dancing with like some random, like a couple random European dudes and a group of my friends, which was so fun until they started annoying me. So I left and then I got street meat instead. And like, you know, a lot of Midwestern folk shit on Los Angeles and they're like, oh my God, like it's so fucking superficial and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, it's what you make of it. Like anywhere in this world, it's what you make of it. And if you put positivity out there, I promise you, you will get it fucking back. So I've been trying, as all these good things are happening, to like take them all in. And I can't emphasize this enough. In some ways, I'm a super like logical brass tacks type person, but like when things fall into place in ways that you could never imagine, it's important to just like really take it all in and let it wash over you and just like feel gratitude for every single tiny good thing that happens. Like your Uber dropping you off on time, or a stranger getting you a coffee, or like literally just find little things to be grateful for every day. Because I started doing that a couple months ago, and like the more I kind of adjusted my mindset and appreciated the little things, it felt like it set me up for like these big awesome things to happen. And I know that everyone has highs and lows, and I'm sure I'll have lows, and I can't wait to tell you guys about those too. But I just can't express it enough. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. I hope that when you're done listening to this, I want to challenge you to think of something that happened today, even if it was small, that you were like, that was fucking cool. Find one little thing to be grateful for. And the more you do that, it's like a practice. It's like any practice. And the more you do it, you'll find your universe to be more abundant. And I don't know when I got so fucking hippy-dippy on everyone. Well, I do. It's when I started reading this book. But it's been fucking working. And I want everyone to have these like mind-blowing moments of good luck where you're just like crying in your Uber listening to Taylor Swift because you have no idea how your life in 1 year went from being one of the darkest, saddest, scariest times like 6 months ago to now, where it's like this beacon of hope where everything seems possible. Oh my God, what a time to be alive. So on that note, thank you so much for listening to this little mini-sode. Mini-sode. I have so many exciting guests lined up. You guys are going to live, laugh, lol, and love. If there's anything that you want to hear, anyone you want to see, again, I encourage you to email me, please, at browneyedunicorn@gmail.com. I would love any suggestions you have. And if you have not, please, please head over to iTunes and give us a rating. And by us, I mean me and Lillian and her poop-scented carrier. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Kisses, squeezes, and sparkles. Bye.